Well, good evening, everybody. We are at the Antlers once again on a Monday evening, coming off a very nice weekend out at Bemidji State. Lakers get a victory on Friday night and get a hard-fought tie, 3 points out of a possible four on Saturday night. On the weekend, very good. Damon Witten's with us. And let's talk first of all about this weekend. We don't have Chris Sabol with us tonight. We'll hit some stuff on the Antlers. They are going to have their big Thanksgiving dinner here starting at 2 o'clock on Thursday afternoon. If you're not in the mood to cook, you can stop by the Antlers. They'll take care of you right here. And they had a big program last week, too. I don't know how that went, but the Arbonne party and the wine party, et cetera. Maybe that's why Chris isn't here tonight.
Still recovering from that,
still recovering, yeah. Okay, let's get into this weekend. By the way, Gordy Dayfield was named Defensive Player of the Week in the WCHA just this afternoon. I thought he had a great weekend. Damon, we'll talk a little bit about him, about this series at Bemidji. They say he stopped all but three of, what, 83 shots or something, some tremendous total. We're not sure he had that many, but he played pretty well.
Well, he was great, and I thought he had to be probably, you know, better in Bowling Green. I thought the great A's we gave up at Bowling Green, he you know, was a little bit stronger, but certainly a great weekend for Gordy. And, you know, we've talked a little bit about our goaltenders need to look down the ice and outperform the guy, or at least match the guy down there, and that certainly happened for Gordy this weekend. I thought their shot clock operator was a little trigger happy on the shot clocks, but you know, they did outshoot us. I didn't think it was the margins that those showed, but Gordy had to be good. You know, we had a couple puck management issues where he faced a couple breakaways as well. So, you know, it's been really good to see him that Bowling Green weekend, this weekend, and knowing that he's got that ability, that's still there. And now, obviously, we'd like to get that consistency there a little bit more. And maybe that falls partly on us with the rotation early on. But, you know, we still believe Nick Kossoff can play, and we'll look to get him his games for sure. But, you know, Gordy certainly separated himself and done a phenomenal job and shown why he's such a good goaltender.
Yeah, he was pretty strong. I felt bad for him even on the one goal they scored on Friday night. He actually got a good piece of it. It trickled by him. He was kind of looking out in front for it, and it was just rolling over the goal line, and it barely got over before one of the D-men dug it out. But that was one of three on the weekend that he gave up. That's pretty good.
You know what I really like, too, about Gordy and their team, but we gave up one goal 5-on-5 all weekend. I mean, that's pretty good, and we're happy with our effort 5-on-5 for sure. We knew going in that they were a great special teams performance so far for that team. So we wanted to keep it 5-on-5 as best we could, and I think we did a great job of that. I think we're 10th nationally in penalty minutes per game, so we need to drop that and do a bit better job. And, you know, yeah, you don't always know what you're going to get with the refs, but you can't put yourself in situation to get calls. So I'd like us to improve on that. But 5-on-5, very good. As you mentioned, their second power play goal, Gordy really had no chance. It hit a couple things and trickled in. And then I thought, I know we'll talk about it, but Saturday, our penalty kill, I thought those guys did a tremendous job to shut them down. I think we had about almost 9 minutes on the penalty kill, and they're top five in the country. And a real huge aspect of our game was our special teams on Saturday to win that, or to tie that hockey game.
Yeah, but Bemidji went into that game Saturday night 29% on the power play, 27% Friday, and they scored two power play goals. So they're darn good when they've got the odd man. They move the puck very well, and they have some pretty interesting cycling they like to do down low and off the left and right side, and then they set it up for Graham McCormick, who's got a huge shot at the blue line. He did score one goal on Friday night, but I thought, and I'm glad to hear you talk about that early in the show, I thought the defensive core was outstanding. Not just the defensemen, but the penalty killers out front too, blocking shots, closing lanes, keeping them from getting good seams to shoot the puck.
Yeah, like I said, especially Saturday. But, you know, Jerry Fitzgerald, just like McCormick, I mean, they've got two or three guys that just have tremendous shooting ability. They've got great shots. They can get it through. They can use you as a screen. And, you know, that's really the key to their power play. They've just got some tremendous shooters on that team. And so it's critical you're in those shot lanes. We showed some clips today to our team about our shot blocks. You know, Jimmy Roll had a huge one. Aiden Wright, Gage Trell had two or three. Zach Lesch had a big one. I'm missing some guys, but we've done a tremendous job of blocking shots. Those of you who get to see us practice know that we spend time 2-3 days a week on shot blocking, and that's really paying dividends early on here. Much improved from earlier on in you know, those early series where we weren't getting in front of pucks and we were giving up goals. So a really good job by our guys that way, that penalty kill unit in particular. And those guys had to eat big minutes. You know, we've kind of figured out a rotation a little bit, penalty kill, and when you're killing 9-10 minutes, those are heavy, hard minutes to eat up. And so again, we want to stay off the kill to keep some guys fresh and to not use our top guys and wear them out.
Yeah, we should make mention, too, of the fans who are here with us tonight and those of you listening in, of course, that Damon's here for half the show tonight. Rich Mitro's coming in at 6:30. He'll finish it up. We'll talk about recruiting and NLIs and new people and all that stuff in the second half of the show tonight. We'll keep it with Damon. We'll talk about Bemidji, and I want to continue to hit on this series because that's huge. When you can go on the road in the WCHA and get 3 out of 4 possible points, that's pretty darn good.
It is. I mean, it's not easy. You know, any night, I think you looked around nationally on Friday night and, you know, how many ties were there, how many one-goal games. You know, Saturday there weren't quite as many ties, but it's not easy. Every night, you know, the parity is so even. And, you know, obviously we're not sitting where we want to be overall, but a huge weekend to go in there. You know, it's a long trip and there's some built-in excuses there, but really proud of the effort of our guys. And I think we had many, if any, passengers. I thought guys, you know, had good games to great games in some aspects of it, and that's what it takes for us. We've got to be great defensively. We're still challenged offensively, and we're working on that, and I think we're better, and we'll continue to get better as our guys gain more experience. But a big weekend, and, you know, and when you look at the WCHA standings, it was important that way. I think we've got games in hand on everybody in the league, and there's one team with only one loss, and then two or three of us with two losses. So we're sitting in a really good spot, and now it comes down to making hay with those games in hand.
Yeah, and a couple of those are coming up this weekend. I want to talk about Ferris State here in the second segment of our program tonight. One of the things, you know, we are challenged offensively perhaps, but I thought it was a really good weekend, especially Saturday night for Al Globke. I think he had 7 shots on goal. He scored the power play goal, and that's the first time I can recall this season he was right in the right spot in front of that net to get that rebound and put it away for a 1-0 lead.
Well, he's playing tremendous. I mean, there's no question about it. You know, his best play, you know, with our staff, and credit to him for sticking with it, continuing to work on. You know, and really it's not about the offense or the goal scoring. It's his work habits. I mean, he's worked so much harder. We had a clip again today where he was the first guy in the forecheck. You know, they were able to make a good breakout pass, and then he caught the guy, stripped him from behind. So he's just working so hard away from the puck, and, you know, we've been asking him to do that. So a lot of credit to Al for doing that. We changed lines with the Nennendahl, you know, misconduct or DQ where he had to miss Saturday. We moved Schmidt to Nennendahl's spot to kind of balance some lines a little bit. We put Globke up with Terrell and Holtz, and I thought that line was very good. You know, we do game ratings, player ratings. They were both +5, +6, which is really tremendous for that line. And I thought they created a ton. They could have had 2 or 3 more goals, a lot of offensive zone possession time. And again, that tracking, that work looking back, I thought Al, his best weekend of hockey that I've seen him play.
Let's talk a little bit about those penalties now, too. It's very out of character for the Lakers to take major penalties at any time. We took 1 in each game this weekend, a 5-minute major for contact to the head called on Josh Nennendahl on Friday night. That could have been really costly. I mean, we had a lead right at the time. I think it was 3-1 at the time. Nellis had just given us the lead at 3-1, and we take that penalty. And here we are looking at a team 27% on the power play, and they got 5 minutes to work with on their home ice. And they did score 1 goal, but we did a really good job of killing that penalty.
Yeah, you know, and you know, we think we're a disciplined team. We try to be a disciplined team. You know, we talk quite a bit about you only take a penalty to save a goal. Penalties happen, and they're going to happen when you play hard and then you're trying to compete. You know, and I thought the Nennendahl call in terms of the 5 minutes was fine. He did make contact to the head. I'm trying to think, it was Ian Janko, who is, I don't know, listed 6'2", 6'3", and Nennendahl's 5'10". So, but he had his head down, so he didn't leave his feet. He didn't raise his elbows. I didn't think the DQ was good. That call, the contact to the head, they got it right. Watching it back, Greg Shepard, the supervisor of officials, was at the game, and Friday pregame he talked about he instructs all his refs to call it a game misconduct on the ice because they have the ability to review it and add a DQ post game. But if you call it a DQ on the ice, there's no ability to review that. And so it's funny, we talked about it pregame, yet there they are calling it. So I didn't like the DQ call. I thought they got it right besides that. You know, Josh had his arm down, you know, caught the guy. The guy actually kind of moved his arms and turned a little bit where he caught his head. But he plays hard, and Josh is a guy that's got to learn to pick his spots a little bit better. He's actually got to let off his hits because they do want to call big hits in college hockey now. It's a shame a little bit, but obviously, you know, we're not out to injure guys and contact and target the head. So they got that one right. You know, the Aiden Wright call, I'm not even sure it's a 2-minute penalty, let alone a 5-minute major. You know, it's a battle that happens every offensive zone possession or defensive zone coverage is two guys battling for pucks, and then he went down a little bit awkwardly, and so I thought that was a disappointing call. But as you mentioned, I thought to respond and finish the 5-minute major Friday by killing it off was good, and the kill Saturday in the 5-minute major was tremendous. And we usually don't show penalty kill clips to the whole team. We kind of do that with our penalty kill group, but I thought they did such a good job. We ended up pulling out 3 or 4 clips to show some shot blocks, to show some situations where we outnumbered guys and read and pressured. Just a tremendous job by our penalty killers on Saturday.
Yeah, what's the ramifications of this DQ penalty, too? It used to be, and they change the rules on us all the time, so I don't know what's going on if I don't keep up with them every year. But it seems to me that if you get 2 DQs in a season, that can lead to a real big problem for you. I think that was one of the things we always worried about with Luke Sandler when he was here. And now Josh, he's a much different player than Luke Sandler, but he's still a big hitter. And so now he's got a danger situation. He took a DQ that maybe he didn't deserve, and now another one, he could be suspended for a game.
Exactly, yeah, they do accrue, and then the more you get, the more trouble you get in there, and then the additional game suspension. So, yeah, it's not a spot you want to be, and you don't want Josh overthinking on the ice. He plays tenacious, he plays tough, he plays hard. I mean, there's a lot of games he has 8-9 hits for us. I mean, he hits everything that he sees out there, which is a good thing to have, But, again, he's got to pick his spots a little bit more to let off a little bit so he can't. Can't let the refs make a call that deserving or undeserving. You got to make those reads. So, but we don't want that to affect Josh's game. We want him to just keep playing the way he's playing, but make some good decisions.
Yeah, I think the other thing that hurts in a situation like this too is now he's got a reputation. Now the officials are kind of looking, okay, number 26, Lake Superior, he's got a DQ. He likes to hit people. Let's keep an eye on him. He's liable to get another one.
Yeah, maybe. I think refs definitely start to take notice of a guy like that. And again, we'll take it. We have depth. I mean, again, we're not out to injure anybody. Your target heads. I mean, that's not anything we're about. But you do want to play, compete, and you want to finish checks. I mean, you got to play the game the right way. So, we'll take it from Josh, and we'll kill the penalties that are good penalties. And, we hope we don't lose him more because he adds a ton of value to our team.
Yeah, it's a big weekend, too. In another way, Anthony Nellis, we've been talking about him in recent weeks. We're waiting for him to get a goal because he gets a lot of chances. He got a really good goal on Friday night.
He did, and you watch games back, and he's playing extremely well. I mean, when the puck's on his stick, there's no panic. He's got poise. He's got vision. He's a very good hockey player, so it's nice to get the first one. Those of you who haven't had a chance to see it, ton of poise on the play, circled around the net. We've worked a lot on kind of simplifying our offensive game and just funneling pucks and getting pucks to the net. I think Diego set a nice little subtle pick on the play to create some space for Nellis. He circled and then beat to the goaltender high glove side. A great shot, great poise on it. And yeah, we hope it's a big springboard for him to really keep the floodgates going here and get on a roll scoring goals for us.
Yeah, it's another game, too. We've talked about this in the past. Bowling Green was the most recent example until this past weekend. This team plays with a lot more urgency and intensity on the road, it seems, than it does at home. And that's something I know you're kind of concerned about. You want to try to figure out, okay, how do we bring this home now?
Well, yeah, it's definitely not by design. I mean, you never want to be a different team on the road. It's sometimes in your players' head, you're at home, you feel like you got to put on a little bit of show for the fans. And, I think that might be a small piece of it. We want to be more skilled and more creative, and we lose some of the bite and the edge. And I don't know if I totally agree. I mean, that Friday night Huntsville, we were in control. A couple bad turnovers, same thing Arizona State with the overtime there. It came down to puck management a couple of those games. But we're not a totally different team on the road, but for some reason we've been able to put weekends back to back better. Mm-hmm. And we're excited. We talked a lot today. It's obviously a great weekend, Thanksgiving weekend here, but we're able to control a little bit more of our schedules. We'll have pregame skates. We'll have more structure at home here. So we've looked a lot about our Friday routine, our Saturday routine, and we're making some adjustments in terms of trying to mirror what we're doing on the road. And hopefully that'll keep guys a little bit more mentally prepared to play.
Yeah, the game on Friday night, first WCHA victory of the season. We've got 3-1-1 ties now. That's very interesting. I can't recall that ever happening before, and we're not even halfway through the season here.
But I think it's a good sign, you know, going back to some of my other experiences and what we were able to build over at Michigan Tech. You know, you had to learn, you know, it sounds terrible, but you had to learn how to lose close games. You know, you're in close games, you take a step as a program, but you still can't get over the hump. And then you get over the hump, you tie some of those games, you win some of those games. So I think it is a process and something you go through. You know, you do learn how to finish games. You don't give up a late lead. You don't give up an overtime goal. And doesn't mean we're all, you know, shooting up, unfortunately. I wish we could say it's only projecting up, but there might be some more, you know, setbacks and learning how to do that. But there is a progression where, you know, yes, you learn how to close out games and either hold a lead or don't blow a lead or hold on to the tie. And then you learn, you know, that Friday night game on the road with the penalty kill, all those things to hold on to that win. That was a big step for our young team. And then even Saturday to hold on to that and then to play back and fight and, you know, a couple good chances both ways in overtime. So I think there's a process there. And I think we're a better team going through some of these environments and these tight games. And again, at some point you hope to flip that around and you're on the other side of a lot of these.
Yeah, tough on Saturday night, too. You lose Aiden in the second period there, and he takes the major penalty, so he's gone from the hockey game. It's a game misconduct. You got to go the rest of the way with five guys on defense. But I thought they did a really good job considering it was game two. They had to be tired. They had the same situation where they had fewer players on Friday night. And I know they were really pretty much done at the end of that game, spent, as we say. But they did a good job, and they actually outshot Bemidji 4-1, I think, in the overtime.
No, like I said, Friday was the same way. You lose Nenendahl, all of a sudden, you know, all your line pairings, not all of them, but at times you get all over the place, and it gets a little bit crazy. So the communication from coaches to players, players on the ice to be organized becomes imperative. And a lot of credit to our decor. You know, I thought they did a really good job. There's two freshmen in that group playing, you know, and then Aiden Wright, one of your savvy veteran sophomores, I guess, is out of the game. So I thought they did a really good job to stay with it, to communicate. I thought we did look a little fatigued late Saturday. I think it's a little bit of the time in the penalty box, way too much time killing penalties, losing guys both nights. But I thought, to clamp down and then have the good overtime was a real positive step. I mean, we've had some D-men, we haven't made many changes there the last few games. And, you know, you come off one goal 5-on-5 on a weekend, you're probably looking at a decor that's starting to settle itself a little bit. And that's with, you know, Draplick, who's been out for much longer than we anticipated.
Yeah, CJ Hayes did a good job in that overtime Saturday night, too. He had two of the four shots on goal. He was flying around. I was thinking to myself watching it, too bad we don't play 3-on-3 like the NHL does in overtime.
Well, he can fly.
That kid would be...
Yes, you'd want to use him for sure. And I thought there's one wrap around, I thought it was in.
So
Mimic had no idea where the puck was. It kind of slid through his legs a little bit. Somehow it came back out short side where, you know, with any little bit of luck, it slides in the back of the net. But yeah, CJ had some chances 4-on-4. We had a little overlap. I thought the ref made, wasn't a good call. It was a good even up call, but it was no penalty, but he called a penalty early on that 5-minute major to, you know, offset what was, we thought, a weak call on Aiden Wright. So CJ got some time on that 4-on-4, and he can skate. I mean, he can really skate, and he's a dangerous weapon out there, and we'll look to utilize him in those situations.
Okay, we're going to take a break, our first of the show. Damon will be back. We'll talk about Ferris State this weekend coming up right after this on ESPN 1400. All righty, we're back for the second segment of the Laker Hockey Show at the Antlers tonight down on East Portage. A little snow on the ground in Sault Ste. Marie, and nothing like we had a year ago, though, so we're pretty happy with what's going on now in the weather. Family of four-pack this weekend. Two adults get in and two kids for $25 for the Laker games. You can take that to either game against Ferris State. Plus, they've got a concession special going on. 16-inch pizza and four sodas or four coffees or any combination for $20. And the ticket office will be open at 4:30 on Friday afternoon and 4 p.m. on Saturday. Also, they've given tickets out to honor roll students in the Sioux school system up till grade 5. They've given coupons to them there. They can redeem them for a free ticket for either game, one or the other, this weekend. Trying to get some fans in the building, Damon. It's important. I think maybe part of the reason why we don't play with the same intensity out of the gate some nights at home is we need to have a few more people in the stands and really get the guys pumped up.
Well, it's no excuse. I mean, these guys come from different leagues, and, you know, they play on Tuesday nights and Sunday afternoons, and then they've been through it, and we all have. And, you know, certainly it's a challenge over Thanksgiving with our students gone. So it's always a little bit, you know, of a different feel into it. But, you know, it can't be – outside motivational factors at this level. You have to be, I hate to call them pros because we're certainly not pros, but you have to have enough pride and experience in what you've done and where you've been, to show up and to be ready to play. And, you owe it to your teammates, you owe it to the people who are there. And we need to be better. We realize that, like I said, some of those Friday games were right there, and it's more, some individual breakdowns than a team not showing up. But we've talked a lot about it. We spent a lot of time, and we expect a different effort and mindset coming into this home series.
Okay, we got a number of questions from our fans who are here at the Antlers with us tonight. We usually have that. Some of them will ask you, Damon. Some of them I'll save for Rich because they have to do with recruiting and NLIs and that sort of thing. But we do have Ferris State coming in here this weekend. That's a very good team. They maybe haven't played as well as they'd like to so far this season, but they do have a couple of big wins. They've got some really good veteran players in their lineup, and they'll be really tough on Friday and Saturday night. We got to be ready to play.
You know what? They skate well, too. They're a mobile D-core, and they make it hard to establish our forecheck because of their skating ability. They've kind of built an undersized skating D-core who can move pucks, and that makes it a tough challenge. We'll have to be good in the forecheck and put pucks to good areas. Their leading scorer, Gerald May, who's a good player. I think the top two, three guys, they tried to recruit all those guys. They play with good pace. They play with skill. Mayhew is a good player. Kyle Shump's a draft pick of the New York Islanders. Doug knows him well from his time with the Islanders. And they got Corey Mackin, a rookie. Freshman's having a phenomenal year. Him and Jake Hand matched up in the first round of the playoffs. And, Jake Hand, the matchup went well for Jake and Chilliwack. So I'm hoping that, Jake can have a weekend if he's back in and ready to play. But they've got some dynamic players and a good skating team. And they've got that bite. And, it'll be a great series of hockey. They are every weekend. It's such a close game, a hard-fought series, so there's no nights off, there's no foot off the pedal. We've got to be ready to play.
Yeah, they are 5-4-3 in the WCHA right now, and they are led by Gerald Mayhew, who has 3 goals, 12 assists for 15 points. And then the youngster that Damon's talking about, the freshman Corey Mackin, has 5 goals, 8 assists. That's good for 13. Kyle Shemp's got 12 points, and another good player who's maybe not doing as much as he could be, but I think he's been hurt a bit, is Chad McDonald. He's a very good player. He has 5 goals and 9 points so far. So they're a team to they're going to come in here and run around a little bit. We're going to have to play pretty well, and it'll be exciting action this weekend on Friday and Saturday nights. And then you get the big trip up to Alaska in a couple of weeks. I don't know how much thought you've given to that yet, but that's a horse of a different color there. That's a whole different ball game.
Well, we've looked at it, spent a lot of time on that itinerary. And I think as you're, even this summer and in the last few weeks, you're looking at the Bemidji trip back home and then a trip to Fairbanks. And so you're concerned about rest and recovery and days off and practice schedules and workouts. And we're fairly standard this week. We feel like we're okay. That the bus trip home is not too bad. I think guys got decent rest on it. We canceled morning lifts this morning. We did those post-practice instead of the morning, give the guys some time to sleep in. And then, they get a little bit of a mental break with school ending Tuesday evening, tomorrow evening here. They at least get a little bit of time off mentally from the schoolwork and exams to kind of refresh. And we'll try to use that, change our practice times around, and keep things a little bit light and loose to offset some of this travel issues that are last week and moving forward into next week.
Okay, and some of the questions we've got from the fans who are here with us, one about the shot totals, you kind of hit on that. We kind of think those shot totals might have been a little bit skewered. They were higher maybe than they should have been. I don't remember. I think Gordy made maybe 6 huge saves on a weekend where he really had to come up big on his own. Stopped a breakaway there one night against number 8 there for Bemidji. Got in wide open. But other than that, it wasn't. I think I agree with you. It was probably tougher saves and better job in traffic against Bowling Green.
Yeah, there's certainly those timely saves, those big saves. We gave up a couple breakaways, which obviously is never part of the game plan. I think part of what Bemidji likes to do is, first touch, especially the way we play in our D zone, they want to switch sides of the ice and go low to high. So they didn't have a lot of possession time because everything was, moving it off the stick or even on breaking out. They're tough to play because it's chips off the glass or hard wraps. But in our zone, they would just go first touch. It'd be east-west cycle, we call it. Then for the next touch, low to high to get it up to the D-man who tried to wrist it through or shoot it through. We did some good blocks on those. We had a pretty good box out by our defenseman to let Gordy see the puck. So there's a lot of wide shots and a lot of off-angle shots. I think we we had them at 14 grade A's on Friday, and six of those were on the power play. So, you know, we're kind of right in that mold we've been with the 6, 7, 8 grade A chances, 5-on-5. And obviously it got skewed a little bit with their power play because of how good their power play is and because of the minutes they had.
Yeah, there was one, Pat O'Neill's pretty good at keeping up with stats. He watches very carefully what's going on. He counted 11 shots on goal in that power play, that 5-minute power play Friday night. So, you know, that's pretty accurate. I think he's right on that. And Gordy did a great job there because 11 shots on goal, they scored on one of them, and that was the slap shot that dribbled past him into the net. We've got some other questions from fans here tonight. If a player gets a DQ on the second night of a weekend series, does it carry over till the next weekend?
Right. Yep. So you definitely have to miss the next game. So then they'd then be ineligible for that next Friday night game.
And how many players do we have right now who are injured? Who are they? And when will they be back in the lineup?
We have a couple. We had two guys return to the ice today, not full contact. Another guy is still not on the ice at all. You know, that's Eric Traplick. He's still continuing to fight through something and trying to, you know, get some swelling out of an area, so out of a lower body injury. So we're better. We're returning some guys. Again, one of them was cleared for full contact. Another one will be back with us tomorrow. Might be full contact, might be a day away from full contact. So we're closer to healthy, but we still have one or two guys that we don't have back yet.
Yeah, and I don't know if we want to name names or not, but we named Eric Draplock, so we can tell you JT Hinkie did not make the trip out to Minnesota, neither did Jake Hand, and neither did Scott Patterson. Scott's been kind of fighting it for a few weeks now, but those are all guys who potentially could be goal scorers for us, so if we had a chance to have them in a lineup, we might want to have that option. But
yeah, I actually missed one, so there was three guys back in action today. Two of them were cleared for full contact. Yeah. So yeah, we're better. We're certainly better than we were a week ago.
Okay, here's a good question. I love this one because a lot of the guys are going to go to Blue Liners homes for Thanksgiving. Are there any restrictions on what they can be fed on Thursday? Don't give them turkey. That's terrible. They'll sleep all day.
Sleep it all off. Feed them early enough and get them out of there to get some rest and then ready for a home weekend, because that's what we need.
So. I'm thinking maybe prime rib. No gravy. All right. Yeah, that's a good question, though, because it is important. These guys are pretty careful about what they eat. I watch some of these guys. They're pretty professional about how they take care of themselves.
Well, and they're excited. I mean, you know, it's a long season. You know, our guys won't get to go home for a few more weeks, and so the chance to go in the homes of the Blue Liners is something special for them, and certainly appreciate that. I know our American kids in particular, you know, would be a strange holiday without a true American Thanksgiving with turkey and stuffing and all the fixings there. So, you know, we appreciate how well they're taken care of, and they're looking forward to it. They can't wait to get it into them, and hopefully we get that tryptophan right out of them and then ready to roll. And then that's why Friday morning, it's nice with no school. We can get back to a more traditional game day.
Yeah, we've talked about that in the past. It's been tough to have a game day skate because so many of the players on this team, like Monday night's a big night for class for them. Friday morning is too.
Yeah, we have a ton. I mean, and then the other issue with it is you have staggering class time. So if you wanted to go, say our ice time typically on the road is 11 on the road, noon at home, but then you have 7, 8 guys coming in late, 7, 8 guys have to leave early. So it's just kind of chaos. And, you know, and so we're still trying to figure out the best way. And then with a young team, I think maybe for an older team, you don't need to do it, but we're going to look at some different avenues. It was interesting out of Bemidji. When we got to the rink for our 11 o'clock skate around, I guess 9:45 or so, or 10 o'clock or so, they were already on the ice. Optional, just the players. You know, they're wearing sweatpants. So, and I'm not a sweatpant guy at all. Like, you know, our guys want to be pros. If we're going on the ice, we're wearing full equipment. We're having a game mindset. But they did have an optional skate earlier at home, and because of class times. So we're looking at that. Again, we don't have to worry about it this week because of the holiday. But getting back two more weeks after Fairbanks, we're going to have to really come up with a plan to make sure we're ready to play.
Yeah, because Michigan Tech will be here.
Yes.
And that'll be a big, big series. Huge. Michigan Tech did really well this past weekend down at Michigan State. Came from behind, tied the game in the final minute on Saturday, won it in overtime, and then came from behind to get a goal in the last couple of minutes to come within one, and then tied the game right at the end on Sunday. So they wound up doing kind of what we did, only they did it at Michigan State, got a win and a tie.
Yeah, it's a big weekend. I talked to Mel just briefly, and pretty happy with his play. You know, like I said, he liked that they fought back and came back. But that's a good hockey team. You know, they still have, they lost, you know, if you look, watch NHL, Tanner Caro, their senior captain, Hobie Baker candidate, he's played, 10 or 15 games now for Chicago Blackhawks. So he stepped right in. So they lost some key pieces, but that's a good hockey team. And that was kind of interesting to watch that series as we just got down there and, our results were. So, good for our league and good for Michigan Tech.
Okay, there's one other question from a fan here tonight, that his qualification at Nenendahl, we kind of talked about that. We agree that he probably deserved a penalty there for a contact to the head. DQ, though, we're not in agreement with that.
No, not at all. I mean, again, it's not part of our game plan. Josh plays hard. When you watch the clip back, the player had his kind of hand up to shoot and move the puck, and he kind of, his arm dropped. So where Josh was going to initiate contact into the shoulder, that area disappeared. And this is a kid like Jonko, 6'2", 6'3", or something like that. Pretty good-sized kid, and his head was leaning into it. So where he was trying to make contact disappeared. His elbow never came up. He never left his feet. I don't think there was any intent to target the head. Just like Greg Shepherd said, let's call it a misconduct. And then if Tom Ceratori wants to send it in and talk to Shep and look for a game suspension, then let's have that conversation. So I didn't think it needed to be called a DQ on the ice. I don't think it was the right call. And again, after watching it 15 times now, I still don't think it was a DQ. I thought Josh did about as much as he could to not target the head or leave his feet or do anything like that. So a tough call. And, we like what Josh brings, but obviously we want to play more 5-on-5 hockey. We got to do a better job that way.
All right, we're going to let Damon get out of here. We'll take our second break on the show tonight. Rich Mitro's coming in for the second part of the show. We'll get into recruiting, NLIs, new players, blah, blah, blah. We'll be right back with more from the Antlers on ESPN 1400. Okay, we're back for segment 3 of the Laker Hockey Show, live on ESPN 1400 from the Antlers on East Portage Avenue. And Damon Witten is leaving the show tonight, and Rich Mitro, the assistant coach, is moving in. And we've got a lot of questions about recruiting and NLIs and who's coming in and did you get enough players and are you happy with what's going on? Some of the fans asked questions tonight. How many NLIs have been signed, and can we name some names here tonight?
Yeah, we can name all three of them. It was a really good, for us, we were very excited about all three of them. It was, kind of down to the wire. That's kind of the name of the game now, it seems like. It's never 100%, even though a kid makes a verbal commitment anymore. It seems like there's always somebody kind of sneaking in the back door and kind of, I don't want to say tampering, but, there's always a little bit of that. And, so you're never... it's never 100% until they sign the NLI, and even then sometimes things happen. But we got the three guys we wanted. The first guy was Cole Holtz. It's Mitch's brother who plays in Madison in the USHL. He's a left-handed defenseman. He's about, about 6'2", 185, 190 pounds. He's a senior in high school. He's really good. I mean, we're very excited about having him. He's another, he skates really good. He's got a good stick. He makes really good plays up ice. And I think, because he's so young, I think you haven't been able to see, his offensive side. But I think he's got a huge, huge upside. And he really competes hard.
Yeah, he's younger brother of Mitch Holtz, who's playing for us now. And Mitch Holtz, I thought he had a pretty good weekend this past weekend. He had a little bit of a nagging problem physically, and he didn't let that bother him. He had 5 shots on goal in each game. And, if Cole Holtz can handle the puck anywhere near as well as Mitch Holtz can, they should be pretty good.
Yeah, it's kind of great. I was really, really excited. Not excited. You never want guys to get hurt. But I tell you what, it was really nice to see Mitch, gut it out. And, his back was completely out on after the game Friday night. He could hardly walk onto the bus. And Saturdays, Nicky did a good job of getting him ready again. I think he saw a chiropractor there. They did whatever it took to get him ready. And game time, he was ready to go. And even during the game, he a couple good shots he took and blocked shots, but he didn't miss a beat, and it was really nice to see.
Yeah, he's a good player. He just sometimes it seems like he's tries a little too hard to do some things offensively, and he gets frustrated, but I thought he was really good on the weekend, had a huge goal on Friday night. Okay, we've got Cole Holtz coming in. He's a defenseman. What else we got?
We also have Christopher Bendulis. I think some of you guys might know him. He played about 1.5 years here for the Sioux Eagles. He's from Latvia. He's about 6'3", 185-pound defenseman. We really liked him last year a ton. We had him up, and it wasn't there with the numbers thing, and also he wasn't quite through the clearinghouse. So, He was one of those guys that we kind of just kind of watched. And I saw him this year again out in the showcase, and he's playing out in Aston in the North American Hockey League. I think he's first right now amongst defensemen and scoring in the entire league. And he's also in the top, I want to say he's top 17th in the entire league for scoring also, you know, forwards and D. So he's having a really good year. He played, finished the year last year in Des Moines in the USHL. And, you know, he's good. I mean, he kind of, to me, reminds me a lot like Kevin Churchman. You know, he's just a very, very smooth skater. He's got, you know, his head's always up. He makes good plays. He's got a good stick. And, you know, I think, you know, that's another area where we can really improve on. And I think he's going to do a great job.
Yeah, anytime you can get a guy who played for the Eagles and he's good enough to play, that's a good move. It helps the fan base there. He's got fans who watched him play here. I saw him play a few times. You're right, he's tall, can skate, he can handle a puck. I guess the big question on him would be, why is he back in the NHL when he was in the USHL? Is that a better move for him? Did his advisor do that or what?
No, I think it just kind of falls into one of those categories. So when you're an import like he is and you're a 20-year-old, you eat up two spots on the USHL roster.
Uh-huh.
So it's very, very difficult to be an import, and especially a 20-year-old in the USHL. It never really usually happens. So for him, he went back in the North American League draft. He was first pick overall by Aston. And, I mean, right now his numbers are off the charts. The team's doing really well. And, you know, like I said, I watched him there earlier in the year, and I wasn't even there to watch defensemen. We didn't really need any at the time, so I was just watching, and I knew him. I liked him, and I saw him, and I had a couple NHL scouts also talk to me about him, you know, because they knew he played here in the Sioux, and I said the same thing they said. I mean, he's I think he's a really good player, and I think he's going to have a, you know, be really, really great Laker for us down the road.
Okay, and who's number three?
The third one is Luke Morgan. Luke Morgan played last year for Little Caesars Midget AAA team, major team, even though he's a younger kid. He's a 97 birth year, so he's still in high school this year. He's in the USHL right now for Cedar Rapids. He's, as of the other day, he was their leading scorer, and he's not even on the power play. He gets, he's just an absolute workout machine. He, his body is in great shape. He's one of the hardest working kids I've ever witnessed, not just in the weight room or on the ice, but even off the ice. His, I think he's a 4.0 or might even be like a 4.2 student, and his ACT was off the charts. He's got Ivy League grades. He's a really an exceptional, you know, kid. You meet him and everything like that. And it's his first year in the USHL, and he, like I said, he's doing a great job with points and everything like that. We were very fortunate to get him. There was a lot of people behind the scenes trying to steer him somewhere else, and he held true to his word. And you know, we were very excited to get that NLI emailed to us on the last day of it.
Okay, that's fantastic. That's good news. Three good players coming in. Rich, two of them are defensemen. I know Colin Sackelman's coming in next year. He already signed his NLI last year, and he's a defenseman as well. We're losing Pete Spratty and Eric Drapluck as defensemen, so we're going to bring in some extra defensemen here because we need some depth there.
Well, and we also just lost Jason Bird as well. So we lost three. We're bringing in three. With Sockerman, and he's another kid. He's having a tremendous season right now in Waterloo. He's already signed his NLI and from last year, and he scored his first goal the other night. He's not really known for scoring goals. He's a shot blocking, big, strong, good skating defenseman. Competes extremely hard, and I think one of their assistant coaches, Tex Damon, the other night, he blocked a shot with his face, and he's got a few stitches, but he's playing with a broken foot right now. He's as tough as nails, and you know, we're very excited to have him too. And another kid. He played at Shattuck. He was Shattuck St. Mary's Prep School. He was the captain of the prep team, and he got high accolades and some of the awards for academics. He's a scholar student, and you know, we're very fortunate to start getting some of these kids to come here.
Did you have you guys pretty much settled on everything now? Do you think we're all set for next year, or is there still something else you think we might need for next season to be a better team?
Well, I mean, I think right now it's, you know, you don't want to say it's early, but, you know, things kind of unfold sometimes later on, you know, after Christmas, and, you know, you never know, but, you know, we're sitting in a good spot. I mean, I think we're very excited for what we got coming in, and, you know, we're very excited for what we got here right now.
Yeah.
I mean, I mean, maybe our record is not the greatest, but I'll tell you what, I'm having a lot of fun, and so is Damon coaching these guys. They're enthusiastic. You know, I mean, granted, you know, obviously at home, you know, you want things to be better, and I don't think it's anything to do with anything, but just the mindset. Our guys got to get ready to go. You know, don't underestimate anybody. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I think that comes when you're a little immature. you know, with this many guys, you know, but, you know, you go to Bemidji, you play against North Dakota, go into Michigan State. I mean, they're ready to go. And we have a team, and it's very exciting to watch these guys play and compete night in and night out.
So. Yeah, I agree. I think the recruiting, the guys who were in here this year, the recruits, outstanding. They're really good. I like them all. They're all good players. They're good kids. They fit in well. I talked to all of them about Get to Know Your Lakers, about camaraderie and team spirit, and they like everything. Nobody said, nah, I hate it here. I'm leaving tomorrow.
We are what we are. I mean, you come to Lake Superior State on your visit and check it out, and, you know, they all wanted a smaller school, and they wanted hockey. And, Lake Superior State and Sault Ste. Marie is a hockey town. I mean, it's just what it is. And, you know, we have, what, the most hockey rinks per capita than pretty much anywhere in the world. I think, you know, you go to most places, 100,000 people, and they got one rink. You know, we got between the two sides, I think there's like 10, you know, with the Greyhounds and us. So, I mean, you know, kids that love hockey and want to go on to the next level, I mean, Lake Superior State's a tremendous opportunity to come and do well, and I think we're on the right path.
Okay, that's great. That's a good update on what we're doing recruiting-wise. Rich Mitro joining us here. I'm going to take my last break here. We'll be back. Rich and I will talk about the team right now, the past weekend a little bit, and Ferris State coming up. We'll be right back with more on the Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400. All righty, we're back for the final segment of the Laker Hockey Show this Monday night. This show flies by every week. Damon Witten joined us in the first half. Rich Matro's in with us now. Want to make mention, we did talk about Gordy Dayfield, Defensive Player of the Week. The goaltender for the Lakers stopped 80 of 83 shots as recorded at the Bemidji State. Got the Lakers a win, 3-2, a tie 1-1 through overtime. Tyler Heinonen from Michigan Tech, the junior forward there, was Offensive Player of the Week this week. He had a game-winning goal and 4 points in the 5-4 overtime win at Michigan State on Saturday, and then came up with a goal and an assist. He scored a goal that brought him within one and assisted on the one that tied the game with less than a minute to play on Sunday in a 4-4 tie. So Heinonen, a pretty likely candidate for Offensive Player of the Week. And Addie Tolvanen, for the second time this season, the goaltender from Northern Michigan, has been named a Rookie of the Week. He had a couple of ties there, but got outshot pretty badly by Minnesota State. Made 30 saves Friday night, 33 saves on Saturday. He's got a 9.55 save percentage and a goals against average of 1.38 right now, the freshman out of Finland. So there's your players of the week. Rich, we got one. We got Gordy Dayfield, had a heck of a weekend. You were there. You can vouch for that. I thought that was a really good, not just the goaltending. He was good. There's no doubt about it. He deserves this honor. But I thought our defensive corps did a really good job, especially Saturday night when they lost Aiden Wright in the second period and had to hold on against another 5-minute power play.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of funny. I mean, how things go, but Gordy's been, you know, outstanding, you know, those games there, and, you know, obviously in Bowling Green as well. I mean, yeah. He's as good as they come. I mean, I don't, you know, anyone that watches him on a daily basis, you come to practice, if you don't believe it, like he's a competitor, you know what I mean? He battles hard every practice and every drill. And I mean, in games, he's pretty clutch. And, you know, I mean, he's a kid that, you know, he didn't come up easy either. I mean, boy, dude, look at his track record of where he's come from, how many different leagues and this and that. And every time he's got a different story of where he, you know, how it comes out. But it's really great. And, you know, he's a good kid. And, you know, he's sure an iron fence back there when you need him.
Yeah, he did a great job at Bowling Green, a great job this past weekend. He gets honored for that. You know, one of the things I wanted to talk to about last week, and I forgot all about it, it was pointed out to me, and I went and saw the article for myself in the Hockey News. They had an article in there about the great traditions of hockey in this country, and had one of the top ones being Lake Superior State's ringing the victory bell after a victory. That's that, and I thought about it, you know, name another tradition in college hockey that's better than that one. That's a good tradition right there.
You ain't a kidding. And I mean, we, you know, a lot of times we bring kids on visits and stuff like that. I mean, that, you know, they already know about it. You know, it's funny, and they want to see it, and they want to know what it's all about. And, you know, Mitch Holtz, you know, they laughed about it. Like, they were kind of, you know, they thought it was pretty neat. And then when you, they actually got to experience it against Northern Michigan there, they thought it was unbelievable. And, you know, they took pictures and this and that. And, they, you know, it really is. It's really something really unique. No one else really has something like that.
Yeah, let's hope we get to do that a couple times this coming weekend. We got Ferris State in here, tough team. They've got a lot of offensive firepower. But, hey, you coach the power play most of the time. Their PK can be had. We need some goals this weekend.
Yeah, well, let's hopefully we get some good refereeing. They call a lot of penalties, and we can see what happens.
Yeah, what kind of team is Ferris State, though? I know you guys sit down, you study film on everybody before you play them. There's a lot of teaching goes on using video right now. We're right there with everybody else showing players. In fact, I wonder sometimes if players don't get tired of it, but all the guys I've talked to say they like it because visual is better than being told stuff. They don't pay as much attention when they're being told as they do when they watch it.
Right, and it's one of those things. I mean, you don't want to overkill anything, but at the same time, it's nice. Like, you know, before the game or whatever, I mean, you can pull up, you know, Ferris State against Fairbanks last weekend and look at what they did on their penalty kill, and then you can try to change your power play accordingly to how they're defending. And, you know, they'll make changes also. I mean, everyone's making changes, but, you know, you can, you know, show the guys, give them a little food for thought, and hopefully in the game they can, you know, execute what you're trying to teach them, and then hopefully that's, you know, pays off.
Yeah, you mentioned a few minutes ago, too, you said, I don't think we're as bad as our record would indicate. You're excited about this team. You like working with them. And, I mean, you've been here a couple of years now and 6 years overall in the assistant coaching here at Lake Superior State. So we can take your word there from the experience that that's what's going on. We're 3-8-3 overall, a little bit ahead of last year at this point. We are, 3-2-3 in the – or 1-2-3 in the WCHA. We know we got room to improve here, but I agree with you. You know, I come to practice a lot during the week, and I like these guys. I like their attitudes. I like how they pay attention. I like how hard they work. You recruited some really good skaters, and there's some good offensive skill there that just needs to mature.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, people, you know, and I'm probably the most guilty of it. You know, you want everything now, and I mean, that's just the way it is.
It's the way people are.
You know, and no one gets more frustrated than probably myself, but I mean, it's one of those things. I mean, I know it. I was a freshman one time, and, you know, it's, you know, everyone thinks it's you're going to step in and just light the world on fire, but it's not always the case. You know, I always use Mark Vermette as a good example. I mean, his freshman year, I don't think he had a point. You know, and then he goes on to, what, score 30 goals, you know, the next year or something like that. It's off the charts, but there really is. I mean, there's very few. I mean, there is obviously guys that do come in as freshmen and light it right up, but there's not it's not always the case. I mean, there's always, you know, a growing pains or whatever, but I think our guys are right on track. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, those guys are playing really good hockey, and I think our team is. I think we just got to shore it up sometimes and get a little more mentally focused, and we're going to be, you know, right on track.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's going to be interesting. We'll get it started this weekend against a pretty good Ferris State team. First trip on the sleeper bus this past weekend, how'd that all go? That's always a tough chore right there, but we only have to make, what, two of those this year?
Yeah, once we kind of figured out what was going on the bus, we were totally fine. I mean, when we got on, it seemed like it looked nice, and then we started making some counts, and it looked like there was only maybe 14 bunks, and then when we started pulling tables and flipping couches, you found out it actually slept about 20, 25 people, so it was pretty good. But it took a little while, about an hour, to figure out how many were sleeping, who was sleeping where, and who was going there, so we only had two on the floor, and which was a lot better than last year, and then it was actually, you know, it's to me, and I think the guys too, it's always a lot of fun. You know, and it's obviously when you go on the road and win, it's even funner, but it's, you know, that was a nice trip. And, you know, it was always, it seems, you know, with the sleeper bus and that whole thing seems like it's a little more, you know, the guys seem to enjoy it a lot more.
Well, we got a tough one coming up too, that trip to Vermont right after Christmas. That'll be interesting because everybody will be gone. They'll be home at Christmas and you got to gather them in, and we got a bus in Detroit and we're going to Toronto. We're practicing at St. Mike's, going to Burlington to play. I'm still trying to figure out how I'm getting there. I think I'm hitchhiking.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. Me and Paul also were trying to figure that one out too, because we're meeting up in Toronto, and me and him, I think, are going to bring the trailer with some type of vehicle with most of the gear. So we're trying to figure that out too, of who's coming and who's going to meet us there, but which way we're going to go. Are we going to go, you know, up to Sudbury and across, or down to Detroit? Who knows? But, you know, those tournaments like that, those holiday tournaments, are a lot of fun. I mean, like you said, it's just one of those things. It's getting back to like old school hockey. You kind of just show up and you play.
Yeah, you play Vermont the first night, and I think it's second game that first night, and then you play Brown University out of Providence, Rhode Island in the second game, and I think it's a Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, you never want to, you know, this year it's a lot better because we're not leaving on Christmas, but so you at least get Christmas home. But, you know, those things are a lot of fun. And, you know, guys come back and they get fired up to get back in and playing. And, you know, you don't have to worry about a ton of practices or gearing up. You just show up and put the gear on. And like last year in Florida, it was a lot of fun.
Okay. Well, Rich, you guys have done a really good job. You and Pete Aubrey before Doug and Doug Holliver this year, the recruiting's looking good. We've got three guys signed to come in next year. Add them to the guys who already signed last spring. We might sign some more in April. That's the next signing date. You're part of the job. And, hey, good job. Looks good.
Well, we'll see. I mean, right now it's like I said, it's a lot of fun, and we got to get more wins under our belt. The obviously the WCHA games right now are the main focus, and it's super exciting. Ferris State coming in here, which is always huge, and you know we always want to beat them. So,
yeah, we play Ferris State here this weekend, Thanksgiving. Get out and support the Lakers against the Bulldogs. We will finish the regular season, down at Ferris State this year. That's always a test too, to play at Abel Glaben Ice Arena down at Ferris State. Rich, thanks for being here.
All right, thank you.
All right, Rich Mitro joining us tonight. Want to thank Frank Blissett back at the radio station, Carl Mason here engineering, Damon Witten was with us in the first half. That's another Laker hockey show. Thanks to all the great fans who were out here tonight. Reminder, too, Laker basketball tomorrow night against Algoma University at 7 o'clock. That's the men are playing against Algoma at 7 tomorrow night. Get out and support Laker basketball as well. And we'll be on the radio this weekend. Lakers Ferris State. That's it for another Laker hockey show on ESPN 1400.